Hear the word of God as it is written in Psalm 119, reading verses 49 to 56. This can be found in page 469 of the Pew Bibles. King David, though in despair, places his hope in God. Psalm 119, reading from verse 49. Remember your promise to me, it is my only hope. Your promise revives me, it comforts me in all my troubles. The proud hold me in utter contempt, but I do not turn away from your instructions. I meditate on your age-old regulations, O Lord, they comfort me. I become furious with the wicked because they reject your instructions. Your decrees have been the theme of my songs wherever I have lived. I reflect at night on who you are, O Lord. Therefore, I obey your instructions. This is how I spend my life, obeying your commandments. Here ends the first reading. We turn to the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 24, reading verses 36 to 44, which can be found on page 755 of the Pew Bibles. Jesus is sitting with his disciples, telling them about the end of times, when he will return from heaven, when he is asked by them when this will be. Jesus tells them what signs to look for and then gives this message. Matthew 24, reading from verse 36. However, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen. Not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. So you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. Well, can you Adam and Eve it? 3 weeks on Wednesday is Christmas Day. I wonder, what do you hope for this Christmas? I wonder if you got what you wanted last year. Was Christmas 2018 all you hoped it would be? And was it a bit of a disappointment for you? Last year, as it was coming up to Christmas, wee Johnny asked his mum if he could have a new bike. So she told him that the best idea would be to write to Santa Claus. But Johnny, having just played a vital role in the school nativity play, said he would rather write to the baby Jesus. So his mum told him that would be fine. Wee Johnny went to his room and wrote, "Dear Jesus, I have been a very good boy and would like to have a bike for Christmas." But he wasn't very happy when he read it over. So he decided to try again. And this time he wrote, "Dear Jesus, I'm a good boy most of the time and would like a bike for Christmas." He read it back and wasn't happy with that one either. So he tried a third time. "Dear Jesus, I could be a good boy if I tried hard, and especially if I had a new bike. He read that one too, but still wasn't satisfied, so he decided to go for a walk and think about it to have a better approach. And after a short time, he passed a house with a small statue of the Virgin Mary in the front garden. He crept in, stuffed the statue under his coat, hurried home, and hid it under his bed. Then he wrote this letter: "Dear Jesus, if you want to see your mother again, you better send me a new bike." Now, I don't think that's the way you get what you hope for this Christmas, whether it's a new bike, the latest iPhone, or the mending of a broken heart. You know, some people just hope to make it to Christmas. Earlier, I asked the young people what they hoped for, and they gave various replies and some things that I didn't even understand, to be honest. But all the things they said were personal, what they wanted personally. If you were stopped in the street by a film crew and asked what you wanted for Christmas, would you ask for something for yourself? Or would you recite what you think you should say just in case someone you know watches and sees you on TV? That question reminded me of the beauty pageants of the past, the Miss World contest that families used to sit down and watch together. Peak time Saturday evening viewing, the highlight of the week. And when the contestants were asked what they hoped for in the world, invariably they came out with the same stock reply: "I hope that wars will cease and that all God's children can live in peace. I hope that no child will go to bed hungry and no old person die alone. I hope that justice and truth will prevail." Now that may sound like a glib answer, but let me ask you today, is that too much to hope for? And let me tell you the answer. No, it is not. Not if you believe in the God who came among us and surprised us as a tiny, fragile baby. Not if you believe in the God who still comes among us and still surprises us. But when we are asked those kinds of questions, it's as if we are being asked, what would we do if we were God? With a wave of our hand, world peace. A cure to cancer. No more dementia. Our answers often portray our readiness for God to act. We want these things and we want them now. But our answers also expose the abdication of our responsibility. Seldom do we seek or acknowledge our part in what needs to be done. Happy for God to act, not so keen when it's down to you and me. That's why Advent is such an important time, because it is a time to remember who we are and whose we are, and a time to prepare to celebrate what God has already given us in the past and what God will give us in the future. In our first Bible reading from Psalm 119, the story of King David reminds us that though life may at times feel like a bleak midwinter, the promises of the one we have put our faith in should bring us comfort in our troubles. I'm sure we can all relate to the feelings of David when he says that he was furious with the wicked because they disobeyed God's laws. In his fury, what does David do? At night, he reflects on who God is, and he chooses to obey God's commandments and says his only hope is in the promises of God. When we are in our own bleak midwinter, when the wicked choose to attack us, when life sucks so bad that it beggars the question about carrying on, We need to remember that even King David, chosen by God himself to be the king of Israel, even David had his moments of doubt and pain. And we need to do what David did. Reflect on who God is and know that no matter what we're going through, it is not forever. There will come a time when all tears are wiped from our eyes, a time when God's promises will be fulfilled. That's why we celebrate Advent, because that was the start of the end of our tears. Through the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus, God's promises are fulfilled. The gateway to heaven is now open, and the cost of our admittance has been paid in full by Jesus. The birth of Jesus was a game changer in the history of humanity. When Jesus was asked by his disciples about the end of days, he asked them to remember the story of Noah and the ark that he built. That was a time when many souls were lost in the world. The birth of Jesus was a moment in history that heralded the saving of many souls. Advent is a time for us to prepare to remember the birth of Jesus, the Saviour of the world. No doubt over the next 24 days, you will prepare for Christmas. You'll wrap the gifts, you'll buy in the food, you'll write the cards, you'll decorate the house, you'll do all those things. But let me ask you, are you prepared for Jesus' return? For Advent is a time for us to prepare, not just for Christmas, but for the time when Jesus will return. When Jesus spoke about Noah to his disciples, when they asked him when he would return, he told them that no one knows when that day will be. But in the mentioning of Noah, Jesus guides us to these points. Noah was ready for the cataclysmic event ahead of him. He built an ark before a raindrop fell, organized his family and all the living beings that came to him. He saved provisions and prepared his heart, mind, and soul for what was to come. By getting ready in the cool of the moment, we are more likely to weather the storms that are ahead. We are urged in this passage by Jesus to do the same. None of us know or can know when Christ may come again. That is a knowledge held only by God. And so we must be ready, awake, alert at all times. Could be tomorrow. Could be this afternoon. We do not know. So as you prepare for Christmas this year, ask yourself, are you prepared for the return of Jesus? If the answer is yes, then hallelujah, heaven awaits you. If the answer is no, then, my friends, don't leave it to the last minute. Don't plan to prepare at the 11th hour, for Jesus might very well arrive at 10:30. For his name's sake, amen. Let us join together in affirming our faith as contained in the Apostles' Creed, hymn 628. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.